And there are some principles in the Word of God that He desires that we follow. And sometimes those principles get lost. And when those principles get lost or are replaced with other things that we put priorities on, our lives begin to take on the shape of someone that is disheveled, in a sense. And our priorities begin to be skewed. They're mixed up. And pretty soon we're placing a higher value, whether we think we are or not, on things that really be kind of down the rung a few steps, wouldn't you say? And so it's very important to, from time to time, evaluate our lives and see where we are in line with the Word of God. And so if we keep God's priorities, God's principles in the proper order, then everything else seems to take its place after that. But if the priorities in our lives that God lays out for us are messed up, then everything else in our lives is messed up as well. Is that a fair statement? Okay? And so it's important. We're gonna take inventory today. My dad used that phrase a lot. I'm kind of stealing it from him. I've done that with a lot of things my dad said. I just gotta take and use them. I hope you don't mind that. Let's get this right. Can we get this right? If we can get the priorities of God right in our lives, then everything else is going to take its place. That's what we want. We want God's blessing, right? And it's not just that. We want to obey. We want to please God with our lives. And if we've got other things in place of what God wants to be there, that's not good. But if we get those priorities in our order, then the rest of the stuff will take its place and take care of itself as well. And I'm reminded of that scripture in Matthew 6, 33. And it says, seek first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. And then, after that, all of these things will be added unto you as well. Well, what things? What things will be added unto you as well? Well, the things that we're worried about, the things we're praying about, the things we're talking about, all those things that in our lives create anxiety. If, you know, our bills and our children, you know, but all these things, if we seek God first, we keep Him first. First priority in our lives, seek God first in all of His righteousness. Then all this other stuff will be added unto us as well. Very important to keep God first in our lives. A lot of times, many other things begin to take first place in our lives. Sometimes, sleep will take the place of time with God. Okay? Sometimes our beds are just so comfortable, and especially in the wintertime, it's just so nice and warm in my bed. I'm really comfortable here, Lord. How about you just come visit me right here? And we'll just have church right here in my room. And so we don't want to get up out of our bed. And so we stay inside where it's warm. We all kind of feel that a little bit, you know? But there's something about being together in the house of the Lord with His people. And we hear their voices and they hear ours, and the praises of God just ring. And we see their hands raised up and we see them clapping and dancing around. And it gets us fired up. It gets us excited. You ain't going to get that in your room. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All this other stuff will come afterwards. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, Proverbs chapter 3. Would you turn there with me? Verses 5 and 6. If we can pattern our lives, if we can employ these scriptures, these principles, if we can pattern our lives after these things, then the blessings of God are a natural following to that. The blessings of God are going to come if we obey. You see, God blesses obedience. God desires obedience. And if we obey and we follow and we pattern our life around these principles, God's blessings are just a natural occurrence. They're just going to come. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. How many of you have leaned on your own understanding in your lives? Leaned on your own understanding. Some of you are waving your hands. Yeah, that's me, bro. That's me. I've been there. I've been there with you. There's a scripture in Proverbs as well. It says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is what? Destruction. We think we can do it all ourselves, man. We got all these right plans, and we're going to do it this way and step on anybody else that gets in our way just to climb that ladder of success, you know? That's not the way it is. That's not the way God says to live your life. And so, we take in the Word of God and we eat it and we digest it, because man cannot live on Panera alone. Panera bread alone, right? But on every what? Word that comes from the mouth of God. So we pattern our lives around the Word of God. And in so doing, God blesses us for our obedience. There's a few different areas that I want to touch on this morning. We're going to have to kind of move a little bit. Is that okay if we move kind of quickly? All right? Because I want to get all these in today. So we start working on them this week. Okay? So now we're taking inventory. When you take inventory, I used to work for Pepsi Cola and the vending side of Pepsi Cola, so I had like a store on wheels, so to speak. Okay? I would sell pop and sandwiches and chips and candy and all that kind of stuff, right? And so every month I would have to take inventory of my truck to make sure that what I actually had on the truck is what was in the computer. And so I would have to literally count every single piece of merchandise that was on my truck, including the money. And if I was off, I'd have to figure out where that ended up going. Was it a calculation error? Was it hiding someplace on my truck or whatever? And so in our lives, it's no different, really. We're kind of taking an inventory of our lives. How have I been doing in reading my Bible? There's a few things missing in that area. They must be hiding someplace. So we need to put a few more minutes or hours into that area. Or how much time have I been spending praying? And so on. And so we kind of review our lives and how we've performed, if you will, over the last year spiritually. And then we kind of make some plans, if you will, for the coming year, what we're going to do. We've all talked about resolutions. I hate them things. I really do. Because in a matter of days, you're like, oh, what's the use? I'm going back to the way I was. I'm not really that big, am I? I mean, you know what I mean? I'm only 30 pounds overweight. What's the big deal? And so you kind of make excuses for yourself, right? I'm going to work out every day. Well, 6 o'clock in the morning comes. And again, that stupid bed is just so comfortable and so warm. It's just so dark outside. You just want to stay. boy, oh boy. Can I just say one thing to you? Don't give to your God what is left over. I think we get into the habit of doing that. Don't give to your God what's left over. Okay? Because that's kind of like a slap in the face. And that tells God very quickly where he is on your priority list. There's a couple things I'm talking about here. I'm talking about your time. All right? If you give God what's left over, there's hardly anything ever left over. Time? Okay? When you get done with your job, when you get done with your family, you got to clean the house, you got to pay the bills, you got to do the laundry, you got to take out the dog, you got to take out the trash. All these things, and pretty soon there's not any time left for God to speak to you so that you can hear his voice, so that God can direct you, so that God can heal you, so that God can strengthen you. Don't give to your God what's left over of your finances. Because there'll hardly be anything left. And pretty soon, you're giving them a few bucks. Well, what do I got in my pocket? Oh, here's something. I got some change I can put in the plate today. Is that what you want to offer God? Really? Come on. Is that what you want to offer the God who put the plan of salvation into place that we just celebrated Christmas and he gave his only son for you? And all you want to give him is the few bucks that are in your pocket that are left over at the end of the week? Are you kidding me? All you want to give him is the few minutes at the end of the week, or maybe just Sunday mornings. That's all you want to give him? It's not enough. How much do you value God? Because that's really kind of what we're showing by our actions. Do we want him by our actions to think that, well, on my list of 10, God's about a 9. My list of the top 10 things, my priority list, God's about a 9. Because honestly, in our lives, sometimes that's what we show. I'm giving God what's left over from what he's given me. Instead of giving my tithe, my 10% that's biblically based, okay? Tithe means really 10th, okay, of my money. I get to keep 90% of that, and I give God to keep the kingdom of God working, so to speak, the church, and so on, to reach out to the lost. Your time. What things are you doing to be involved in the church and in the kingdom of God? I don't just mean here, because that's kind of selfish, you know. Trust me, I want you guys to be involved. Because I love working with you. I love being partners with you in furthering the kingdom of God and meeting the needs of God's people. That's a huge job. Yeah? And I love being part of that with you. But are you taking part in that? Or are you offering God part of your week? Are you involved? Are you committed to some ministry or some area? Okay? Those are things we need to think about. And I don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable. Well, kind of, I do, yeah. Okay? I don't want to hurt your feelings is what I'm saying. I don't want to hurt your feelings because I love you. But it's important that we all take some sort of responsibility in our faith, okay? We call them deeds, if you will, all right? And faith, the Bible says, without what? Works is dead. So I can tell you I'm a Christian all I want, but if I'm not doing something to show it, if I'm not doing something to get involved, where's my faith? Is it really faith? Okay? Do you follow me? It's important to be involved. It's important for you, yourself. Okay? It's important for us to belong. It's important for us to contribute. There are many, many, many things in a church, in the kingdom of God, that need doing. Find a spot and get busy. Okay? God has gifted you with various things, whether it's computers or music or children or fashion or who knows what the case may be, okay? Use what God has gifted you to bless somebody else. Okay? Get busy about the king. I heard it said once, you know, God's a gardener, the great gardener, right? Find a row and start hoeing it. Okay? Find a row in God's garden and start hoeing it. Start picking some weeds. And God will direct you to the place that he wants you to be, okay? Don't just sit around and wait for it. Find a spot and get busy. Amen? Find a row. Start hoeing. I like it. Don't be afraid to get busy. Don't be afraid to get dirty. Your hands dirty. There's a lot of Christians with dirty hands around here, and I love every minute of it. Yeah? You got dirty hands. You got a sore back from doing the work of God. Yeah. Yeah. Don't tell me that you can't afford to give. Okay? So we're talking about don't give God what's left over. Okay? Give God what's called the first fruits. Give God the very best of what you have. Okay? For the money that you bring in, give God the very first part of it. You pay God, in a sense. Okay? You offer to God. All right? You give him the very best, the first fruits, that first tenth right off the top, and then you work with the rest. And I've heard it said, well, I can't afford to tithe. That is the absolute wrong thinking. That really is the wrong thinking. I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to, really. That's really the way it is, okay? And I don't want to single anybody out. I really don't want to hurt your feelings. But you're only hurting, honestly, yourself if you don't tithe. Because trust me, God blesses those who give. He blesses it. Let me show you something. Let's turn to Malachi. Malachi, I think it's 3, isn't it? Malachi 3, verse 6. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Have we left you in some way? Will man rob God? God asks, yet you rob me. Wait a minute. How do we rob God? Come on, really? And God answers, in tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the house, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now listen to this. I just love this. God is challenging us. He's directly challenging our faith. Okay? And he says this, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. When you tithe, let me tell you this, God wants to bless you. But if you withhold your time and your dedication and your money, and you withhold all of these things from God, you withhold blessings from yourself. Okay? You withhold blessings from yourself. And on the contrary, when you give, oh, God's like, I just been waiting for that. Here it comes, baby. God's just waiting to bless you. Let's keep reading. Verse 11, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. Don't hurt yourself by withholding your tithes. Don't hurt yourself by withholding your time. Give to God. Just try it. Try it and see what happens. And that's the way I started with all of these things, all of these principles. You start with this one thing. Okay, I'm going to try teaching the kids. I'm going to try teaching the Sunday school. I'm going to try coming on Wednesday nights. I'm going to try tithing a tenth of my salary. Okay? I'm going to try tithing a tenth of my, what do you call it when the kids earn something? They earn an allowance. Yes, an allowance. All right? And that's how it starts. And then you begin, then you kind of wait. Isn't that the way it is? You give it, then you're like kind of waiting back. I'm waiting, Lord. You know? And you kind of wait to see what God's going to do. And I can't tell you how many times God has just come through. Over and over and over. He wants to show you his faithfulness. He wants to bless you. He just wants to pour it out all over you. You're his kids, man. He loves us. He loves every one of us. Test me in this and see if I pour it all into your lap so much you can't even contain it. Hallelujah. We're taking some inventory today. Don't give God what's left over in your lives. Give him the first fruits, the very, very best. Just a few pages over and, well, we're in Proverbs. Go back to Proverbs here. Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 9 and 10. Very simply, honor the Lord with the what? First fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Now, the Bible talks a lot about wine and farming because that's the way it all was. That's just the way everybody did it. Okay? And it's just saying that, he's just kind of saying the same thing again. Test me. Test me. Honor me with what I'm giving you. Give me a part of it and see if I will not bless you. When I worked at Pepsi for about 9 years and I hurt my back, and I was on disability for 15 years. 15 years I was on disability. Had 4 surgeries. I got scars on my back as proof. I've got metal, titanium. I've got, honestly, my back, I look like the million-dollar man back there. I've got spinal cord stimulator, okay? In my back, all these things. When I was off of work, I had to do. And that was a real test of our faith, let me tell you. And that money that I tithe, that we decided, because it's a decision, is it not? It's a decision that you make. We made the decision that we were going to tithe if we starved to death. That's the decision we made. It's God's. It's not ours. We are not going to miss that tithe. And God proved himself faithful. God proved himself faithful. There were so many times when that little bit of money could have been used in so many other areas. Like putting food on the table. But we gave it to God, trusting him. And that's really what it comes down to. God wants you to trust him? Are you trusting him with your money? Are you trusting God with your time? And so on. Do you believe what he says? Do you believe him? That if you do these things, I will bless you. I will make your gas last longer in your vehicle. I'm going to make your clothes not get holes in them so often. Okay? God wants to bless you, but he wants you to trust him. Are you trusting him with what you have? Honor God with your wealth. Second Corinthians, let's go back a little bit further. Chapter 31, Second Chronicles, I'm sorry. Second Chronicles, chapter 31, verse 5. I'm going to start in verse 4 here, I think. Now, this is talking about Hezekiah. It says, he ordered the people living in Jerusalem to give the portion due the priests and the Levites so they could devote themselves to the law of the Lord. So he's giving the people instructions on how to give their offerings. And it says in verse 5, as soon as the order went out, the Israelites generously gave the first fruits of their grain, new wine, oil and honey, and all that the fields produced. They gave, and here's that phrase, the first fruits. First of what you bring in, the very best of what you bring in, you offer to God. Because he is worthy of it. He's worthy of it. They brought a great amount, a tithe of everything. So what comes into your house, money-wise, what time you have, you offer a tenth of that, or a portion of that, of your time anyways, to God. Okay? And a tenth of your finances. Why do we do that? To honor God. To honor God with our wealth, with everything that we have, we offer to God as an offering, as an act of worship. Do you know tithing is an act of worship? When we give our time here at the church, maybe we have a work day, and you spend a half a Saturday here at the church. Many, many of you have done this. And you spend a half a Saturday here, and you're cleaning, you're vacuuming, you're up on the roof replacing shingles or whatever you're doing. That is an offering to God. It's pleasing to him, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Some of you have bled doing things here in these buildings over the years. Hallelujah. And we are reaping the benefits of it. So thank you for all of your work and your efforts. And many of you ladies have spent countless, countless hours teaching the children. What a beautiful offering that is to God. What a heritage our children have because of your teaching. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for the years of service that you've given our church and the children. In Galatians 5:13, let's just turn there, talking about our time and maybe service. Service to God and serving one another. Galatians 5:13 says, you brothers were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, and here it is, serve one another in love. Serve one another in love. Well, what does that mean? That means if there is a need, meet it. Okay? If there is a need in a classroom setting here at the church, and we trust me, we are in need, of teachers to teach these children. So if you are able to teach children, come and talk to me. Serve one another in love. Meet each other's needs. Encourage each other in love. So we're talking about tithing. We're talking about our time. What about prayer? As we take inventory of our lives the past year, how have we done in the area of prayer? I could preach every Sunday on prayer and still not get enough in. And you know what? There's nothing that's pretty about it. There's nothing that's, oh, look at this, I'm praying. You know, there's really nothing to draw you to prayer. There's no, in a sense, immediate gratification to prayer. Nothing that would really draw you to it other than necessity. Friends, we have forgotten how to discipline ourselves in prayer. And I can't tell you how important that is as a believer to spend time every single day in prayer. And you know what? The temptation as a pastor to make this palatable, to make it easy to swallow, would be to say, you know, just a few minutes every day. But that's not really true. That's really not true. A few minutes every day is not enough. It's a start. And that's where it starts. It's a start. When I was a young man, I think I was 15 or so, I began to spend my mornings, just 10 minutes, I think, is what I started with. 10 minutes in prayer. And before I would get on the bus. And I found that as I began to do that, something began to happen in me. And there was a boldness that began to set into me when I was in high school. And trust me when I tell you, I needed that boldness. God began to do something in me that was not happening until me and Him began to spend some time together. Prayer is something that the benefits are immeasurable. Immeasurable. The necessity is so great, but there are few who will discipline themselves to pray every day. We're busy. There's football on. Oh, geez, that one hurt. Kids got to be run places. We got so much to do. We got to clean the house. There's always things to do. But you know what? Those things aren't going to go anywhere if you spend a half an hour with God. They're still going to be waiting when you're all done. They'll be waiting for you, tapping their hands and their feet. Come on. But you know what? When you take the first fruits of your time in the morning and you give that to God, it sets you in perfect balance so that you can handle all the crap that comes at you that day. Okay? Forgive me for being so blunt, but I think you can handle it. I think you get it. There's some rough stuff that comes to us in our lives and that would try to distract us and try to pull us down and make us angry and upset. And that happens even to the best of us, but it does not last. It would try to pull us down and make us depressed. You center yourself with God every day. You spend some time with God. The benefits are immeasurable. How many times in the Bible in Luke 5:16, let's just turn there. I want you to see this with your own eyes. And it's not something you haven't seen or heard before, but it's important to see it and to review it and to remember it. In verse 15, yet the news about him spread all the more, so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. And here we go, verse 16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Why would Jesus go to a lonely place? Why would he do that? Yes, absolutely right. So he is not distracted. How many of you know that there are distractions in our lives? And they come in many different faces. Distractions. Our phones. Our iPads. Our TVs. Our radios. Our families. Our friends. And, you know, I love technology. Man, I love technology. But this thing, it's like I can't get away from it sometimes. And everybody has access to me 24/7. But there is an hour every day that this thing is away from me and it's sitting on my desk and I am in here worshiping and praying to God. This thing does not exist during that time. It's important. Jesus went and he got alone. Why did he go to lonely places? To be alone. To be alone. Even the disciples who he was trying to train, right? That's important. Well, the disciples need to be trained, so somebody needs to teach them. Yes, but I need to receive from my Father. I need to hear from him. I need to hear what he has to say. Some things that prayer, some benefits of prayer. We hear the voice of God. Maybe you've heard it called your prayer closet. Sometimes I feel like I can't get far enough away or alone enough. You know what I mean? To hear from God. There's so much going on. There's so much that needs to be done. But it's so important. Just stop. Just stop it all. God, listen. Don't do so much yakking. That's hard for me sometimes when I'm praying. Just to be still and be quiet. Just listen. Just listen. I've heard it said God gave us one of these and two of these. It's probably a good reason for that. You think? We need to listen more. Listen to God. Communication. We get strength from prayer, from time with God. Strength for what? Strength to refrain from temptation? Strength to do what is asked of us by God? The Bible says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We get guidance from our time in prayer. We get anointing from our time in prayer. We get peace. How many of us just need peace? Just chill. We need that peace of God that only God can give, that only comes from him. With our time with God in prayer, we receive love from him. We can feel God's love through the time that we spend with him. And friends, let me tell you one more thing that you get from prayer, and that is power. Power. That is one of the reasons Jesus spent so much time in prayer. There was so much demanded of him that he needed that time with the Father to strengthen him, to give him the courage, to give him the strength to do what he had to do. The benefits of prayer are immeasurable. And I will close with this one other thing. Love. As you look back over this past year, how have you done the area of loving your brothers and sisters? Because the Bible says that all of these other things are going to pass away, but this one thing is going to remain. And that's love. Love endures. Okay? How have you done in that area? I think that we can all do a little bit better in that area, loving each other, serving each other, being patient with each other. Patience is a hard thing because we feel like we've been wronged and we have the right to retaliate, to respond, don't we? But God desires love. Love between you and me and you and you and so on. Amen. I just want you to sit where you are. Would you just bow your heads with me and let's just pray and let's God to help us this year in these areas, in the areas of tithing. Pray and our time. Let's see if we can do better in those areas with God's help. Heavenly Father, we just come before you today. Lord, I pray for this church. I pray that we would not get tired of doing good, as it says in your word, but that you would give us that Holy Spirit gumption, Lord, that fire, that you would help us, as it says in Timothy, to fan into flame those coals of fire, as it were, that gift of God. And to employ it and put it to use. I pray for each and every soul that is here today and their families as well, that you would pour out your blessings on them. I pray, God, that you would give them the faith to believe and to trust in you when it comes to giving of our time and our money and other things, Lord. That's hard for us sometimes. I pray that you would in those areas. Help us, God, to pray. Oh, God, that we would be a people of prayer, to hear from you in a world where there's so many voices shouting lies. We need to hear the truth. And we pray that this would be a year of blessing, that you would help us to stand strong in a world that has fallen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.